Good morning, Brooklyn. How are we doing today? All right, Mikey, why don't you just come up here too? You know, this is my, come up here. I'm going to read a passage and I'm going to sit down. Yeah, sit here. Psalm 73, verse 26. I'm going to read. I'm going to give Joe this Bible. He's going to read the rest of the passage for today. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay, the reason why I'm wearing a hat today is because I've been getting chemotherapy and also I need to conserve as much of my body heat as I can. I've been getting blood transfusion, and in fact, tomorrow I have another. I'm scheduled to get another transfusion tomorrow. So as much as I can, I want to make sure I keep my body as warm as possible. And of course, it's great to have our elder here today. It's Kevin. Go ahead, stand, Kevin. And Andy's beautiful wife, Kevin. We've known each other for a long time, and so that's awesome. The reason why I read this passage, it's one of those things where you read in the Bible, you know, you read it in your quiet time, and you don't think too much about it, because, you know, you're healthy, and everything is fine with you. And But it talks about, really, our health. And I've been getting cancer treatment over the last 6 years, and they have put me on a treatment, on a new drug. I don't really know the name, but it's a new trial drug that is earmarked for ovarian cancer. What I have is an advanced stage prostate cancer that's spreading my body. So what they have, and I was approved for this drug, something that we're praying for, is a cancer drug that was earmarked for people that have ovarian cancer, which is women. Women that have ovarian cancer. And but I found out, because I did a genomic test, and they found out that my cancer mutation is actually matches somebody who has ovarian cancer. And this drug, as God will have it, it's used to treat people that have ovarian cancer. So now the insurance company approved of me to use this drug. So I've been getting chemotherapy basically every single day. I've been taking all these pills every single day. And then if it does work, and that would be a miracle drug that, you know, Barack Obama spoke about last year in his last State of the Union, talking about the moonshot drug. Where they want to get this immunotherapy thing that can hopefully help speed up, you know, cure for this disease that have no cure, you know. So for this reason, you know, the elders of the church, and I'm so glad that, you know, Kevin and Andy are here, have really loved me so much, they care for me so much over the last 6 years. And they love Brooklyn so much over the last 6 years, they've decided that really it's time for Brooklyn to have new leadership. You know, I've been the longest leader Brooklyn has ever had in the history of this ministry. In fact, almost 70% of the people sitting here today, you were baptized since I got here. And And that's why it's great to have all the kids here, because I want to share some notes that the kids wrote me, you know, that you will find very, very encouraging. A few weeks ago, Sam and Cynthia Powell, who are the lead evangelists for our church, they came to the house, came to my house, and came to the bedroom. We all sat in the bed talking about what are the plans for Brooklyn. What are the plans for Brooklyn? You know, and behind me, you know, we have these are my Timothys here, you know. And I got my Joe, my Ashton, my Mike, you know, they're my Timothys. And they were baptized when I got here. And the men that I've been raising up to really be awesome men of God, and they've been doing awesome, great things for God, as you can tell. And so thankful for them. And the Sam and Cynthia and the elders feel like there's a need. There's a need for Brooklyn to, you know, to take it one step further. There's a need for Brooklyn to have, you know, a couple that can come over here and lead us, and lead us powerfully, and lead us in the most awesome way. Men, a man and a woman that have experienced, men and women that were baptized, you know, they were baptized here, and they've been in the ministry for so many years, and they have experience in leading so many people, and they have, you know, experience in counseling, in preaching, in teaching, and leadership, in raising up leaders, you know, and as we're talking, you know, I was like, what about Phil and Leslie Garrison, you know, and they look at me and they smile. They're like, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're thinking of. We're talking about them too. I'm like, you know what, because Phil is crazy, and Brooklyn need crazy people to come and lead it, you know, people who are sold out, people who are willing to move, give up everything, sacrifice everything, come over here, find some place to lay down their head and lead without any complaint whatsoever, you know, and as God will have it, the elders, Sam and Cynthia Powell have approved that, you know, Phil and Leslie Garrison, as you can see the picture behind us, you know, they'll be coming as of this week, you know, and they will be the leaders of the Brooklyn ministry. You know, I was so excited. I was so fired up because I thought, you know what? Brooklyn deserves nothing but the best. And this is the best the New York City Church has to offer. And if we can get the best, then we don't want nothing. We got the best. You know, we got the best. And I'm so excited. I feel like it's a blessing, incredible blessing for this ministry to have this couple come in here. And they're busy looking for a house. Be praying for them. They'll find a house, an apartment quickly in Brooklyn so they can settle down, settle in, and so they can get going, you know, in this ministry. So I feel very, very blessed. I feel very, very encouraged that God loved us so much. Like me, you know, Phil is a New York Giants fan, you know. And he and I has gone to see at least 5 Giants game live. And so it's been quite awesome. And they love God. They are crazy for God. You know, they love Brooklyn. You know, they're excited about Brooklyn. They want to give their very best for Brooklyn. And so I am just so, so, so thankful. You know, so, you know, just the support you've given me over the last 11 years, you've got to give them more than that. You know, you got to give them more. They deserve it. They deserve it. They're great men. He's a great man and a great woman of God. And they love us. And they're going to do a great job leading us powerfully in Brooklyn. So you're going to see them at midweek service, God willing. You know, this Wednesday, you're going to see them at midweek service at MS or whatever. I don't want to keep you guys standing here all day. So you can sit down. Just sit down, man. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Okay. But, you know, you are my family. You've been my family for over the last 11 years. You know, out of those 11 years, 6 of them have been fighting cancer. And you've taken care of me. And Joy is going to read a passage in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 right now. I want to keep going. So turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8.
First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us.
And that's the way I feel about this ministry. And I feel like that's the way I feel about nothing but love for this ministry. I feel like, you know, when people were taking time, people would easily take time off. When I was encouraged, take time off. I'm like, no, this is my family. This is, you know, I got all the help I needed in this ministry. And I've gotten so much love, you know, so much love. You know, people, men that have laid down their lives for me. You know, Edward, for example. Edward is a man that have laid down his life for me. A man that I can call any day, any time, and he would drop everything he's doing. You know, and just come to find out what I needed. You know, Winston Lewis. You know, Winston Lewis is not here today. He's in the city because if one of the co-workers really wanted to come to church, they live in the city. So he's taking him to work, you know, taking the co-worker to church so he can introduce him to the disciples over there. But any phone call, Winston is there. And as God will have it, his daughter was baptized in the Philly church yesterday. You know? And so really excited about that. You know? And my brother, you know, Herb Cruz. And these people love me not because of my position in ministry. The people I'm talking about here, I got to tell you something. There's a difference between loving somebody because they're the one leading you and loving somebody because you just love them for who they are. I feel like I have people in this church that love me not because I was the minister in the church. Because it became obvious when I became so sick to do anything that there's some people that no longer, because I feel like, oh, well, Nietzsche's not leading anymore, so let me just find out who's the new guy leading or whatever. But the fact is this, you know, Herb Cruz is a man that I love and I trust so much with my life. He makes me laugh. No matter how messed up I am, Herb Cruz will find a reason to make me laugh. Jerome Sam makes me laugh. Even when I don't want to laugh, he makes me laugh. You know? Where's James Unelus? Little James. That's my bud. That's James over there. You know? My friend James Unelus. Let me tell you something. Every year, me and James organize a water balloon fight in my house. That's his idea. He said, Mr. Nietzsche, when are we going to have a water balloon fight? And so this is the last water balloon fight we had in my house, 2016. Can we show that? This is the last water balloon fight that was organized. Now, who do you think was on the floor? Who do you think is laying down on the floor? Who do you think that was? That's Jerome Sam. Jerome Sam on the floor, where he belongs, you know? But, you know, every year, you know, we're already planning for this year, some of this year, get all the kids in the church, have a water balloon fight in the house, and that's my man, James Unelus Jr., you know. And Chris Liu. Chris Liu is another man that lays down his life. You don't know Chris a lot. A lot of you guys don't know him. He works for the corrections department upstate New York. See him at midweek and Sunday and here and there. He's all the way in the back. You know, he's the guy that makes sure I come to church every Sunday. And a lot of times, a lot of my appointments in the city, because I get, you know, my hospital is the Sloan Kettering in the city on 68th Street. And now Chris comes to the house, picks me up, takes me to the hospital in the morning, drives around the city for many hours, and picks me up in the evening to take me back home. I mean, you gotta think about us laying down your life for somebody. And I'm so, so thankful for these guys. I can stay here all day, talk about men in this church that laid down their life, men like David Allen, you know, Mike Iodago Sr. You know, that if I need something, they are there. Whatever I need, they are there. It's not just the gospel. It's not just the gospel. We share our lives. We share our lives. And I'm going to continue reading here.
What's the next one?
Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Philippians 3, 12 to 14.
Go read it.
Okay. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
And Paul is saying that he wasn't there yet. He talks about pressing on, straining toward what is ahead. Christian life is not easy. Because anybody can be a Christian when everything is going well in your life. Anybody can be a Christian. It's tough being a Christian when you are sick. It's tough being a Christian when you don't know, when every day you're staring death in the face. It's tough being a Christian when you're sitting around thinking, am I going to wake up tomorrow? It's just tough. Being a Christian, when I go just for a little test in the hospital, and they're like, you know what, we're going to keep you here for 7 days. I've been admitted too many times. You have no clue. But I press on. I fight on. I fight on. I fight on. As long as I'm breathing, I'm fighting. I'm fighting. Because I feel like, you know, there's a reason to fight on. And as I look around Brooklyn, as I look at, you know, people like Dexter, Wilson, and my sister Keish, and you know, just seeing them, what they've done with our children's ministry. I fight on. I say, it's worth it. It's worth it to fight on. It's worth it to strain toward what's ahead. I'm telling you, I am tired 24/7. And people say, wait a minute, why don't you just take a nap? Can you imagine getting chemotherapy every single day? Trying to take a nap. What is that? You feel worse after the nap. But I strain toward what's ahead. Because I have a reason to live. And I have a reason to fight on. Amen. And as Paul wrote towards the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. Guy and Joy, I want you to, that'll be our last scripture here. And I'll share a few thoughts.
2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
All right, when Paul wrote this, Paul can see his death right in his face. Now, I cannot tell you I can see my death right in my face. Now, we should be looking at our death right in our faces because maybe that will help us have a better perspective about life. I think sometimes we feel like we have tomorrow. Sometimes we feel like we have the next few hours. But we don't have that. The doctors don't know how long we've got. They don't know anything. Paul said, I fought the good fight. And that's what the Christian life is. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. And keep the faith. Are you still fighting? Brooklyn, are you still fighting? We've got to keep fighting. Every single day you are alive is a new day to fight. It's not a new day to make excuses and whine and complain. Every single new day is a new day to fight. And Paul says, I've finished the race. I've finished the race. Isn't that what we want? We want to finish the race. We don't just want to fight. We want to finish. We don't want to just get in the race. We want to finish. And he says, I have kept the faith. When Paul says, I have kept the faith, he means that he did not cheat. He did not cheat. You cannot cheat on this race. You cannot wiggle your way and confuse people or manipulate people and try to get in the front and try to pretend that you're doing well when you're not. You cannot cheat, because you can cheat, confuse people, and let people think you're doing great when you're not. Because you can cheat, you can fool everybody else, you cannot fool God. And that is very crucial, brothers and sisters in Brooklyn. Because, you know, the last few months that I've been, just did nothing but sit back and just look. I've seen a few things about myself, and I've seen a few things about the church. And I've seen a few people really try to cheat their way to heaven. That's not a good thing. It's not worth it. Paul says, I kept the faith. You know, Paul's perspective, again, like I said, was about his death. Mine is pretty interesting here. Yes, death is something that is real. But I feel peace in my heart. I feel peace with myself, and I feel peace with God. I don't think I finished my race yet. I still feel like there's a few things I need to be taken care of. I wrote a book called Refined, My Ride with Cancer. I wrote that book about a few years ago. What was that book? Okay, I wrote that one. I think it did pretty well. Some of you guys read it. That was pretty cool. And I'm writing two more books. But I want to show you the second one that hopefully should be out in summer. Okay. It's called My Right to Surrender. That's me writing. That's right. Once upon a time, I used to be healthy. And I used to ride. That's me riding. And you might think, why the title, My Right to Surrender? Why that title? Are you giving up, Nietzsche? No, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. When I say my right to surrender, you got to look at Matthew 26 to understand where that title comes from. Not my will, but your will be done. And you can see the rocky places. You know, find me right in the middle of rocky places. Where it's like, you know, it gets to a point where it's like you can't ride in rocky places. Now, I've ridden in all kinds of places. But it gets, so, you know, rocky places are pretty tough to ride in. If you do mountain biking, it's tough to ride. It gets to a point where you feel like, you know what? It's time to just get up that bike and just say, you know what? I did my best. Thank you, Mike Hidalgo, for designing that. And it's got my right to surrender. And that's not giving up. That's not giving up. Not giving up. I'm glad I got to see Jackson get baptized.
Amen.
I'm thankful I got to see Gregorius get baptized. You know? I'm so thankful to see Charlie Wilson. I was there when Charlie Wilson was a little baby. Now Charlie Wilson has become a beautiful young teen girl.
Remember.
I'm so thankful to see these little kids. Abigail Felix wrote me. She said, Nietzsche, feel better. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Roses are red, violets are blue. Then we hope you are better too. A lot of this thing has me preaching like a Superman up here and the church over here. Let me show you more. Oh, man. This one has me lying down in bed in the hospital and people praying for me and singing. Okay, this one is from Jojo. It says, Yonichi, I hope you get well soon so you can preach. Okay, Elijah wrote, get better soon. And he's got something that has me, I think I was preaching with five hands.
Those are speech bubbles. You're speaking.
I'm speaking. Okay, great. I don't know. And one says, get better soon. You are powerful.
That's Dragon Ball Z.
That's Dragon Ball Z. That's me. I'm Dragon Ball Z. And one's got me eating a lot of pizza. I don't know. Anyway, there's just so much stuff. Okay, it says, we love you, Nietzsche. Daisy, thank you for showing us every day what 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Every day, you are role models that we watch and imitate as we grow up. The Children's Ministry, February 26, 2017. I'm done sitting down. Just stay here. Mm-hmm. Children's Ministry, I'm so proud of you guys, all you kids. I am so proud. I was there when a lot of you guys were born. I was the first visitor Eli and Ron had. And when they were born was the day we had the earthquake in Haiti. And I was there when they were born. I was the first visitors they had. A lot of you kids, I was the first visitor you had. I carried you. And now you look at me like, what's up? And some of you parents who are here, I started the Bible with you. I did your marriage counseling. I did your wedding. And now you give birth. So I feel like a grandfather. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of every single person in this church. You know, last time I was in the hospital, I was admitted for 7 days. I went there for CAT scan and bone scan, and I did the CAT scan, and after the bone scan, I was not feeling too well at all. So, and it's all the way in the city, and then I wasn't feeling well, and I looked at my wife, and she looked at me. I'm like, do we have to go back all the way to Long Island, and then I have to come back to the city, to the emergency room? And I said, why don't we just go to the emergency room right now? We're in the hospital, go to the emergency room, so we went over there. And the doctor there was like, you know what, you're not going home. You are not well. We're keeping you here for a day. And the 1 day turned to 7 days. And on the 6th day, I was walking around the ward in the hospital. And I saw a guy, and I'm like, how you doing, bro? He was like, he's doing well. And he said, how you doing? I said, I'm fighting. And he says, you know, it's very important you said you're fighting. It's very important you said you're fighting. Because sometimes we don't want to fight anymore. And he says, when you don't want to fight anymore, find somebody who will fight for you. And I turned around, and behind me was my wife. I said, she's the one that fights for me when I don't want to fight anymore. And here's another reason why I fight. Honey, I'll come back to you in a minute. Here's my grandson. Okay, that's our European soccer team that will support Arsenal. And he's 1 year old, showing off his moves.
And there's one more picture of him. Okay, that's us.
And it's my little Korean grandson. We've done everything to get him to look African. He cannot, for some reason, he doesn't want to look African. I don't know what else to do. I've given up. But now going back to my wife. Brothers and sisters, when you choose who to marry, you're choosing whether to go to heaven or go to hell. In a lot of ways. It's not about fancy. It's not about, oh, they're so cute now. It's for sickness and in health. I've seen people in the hospital that don't want to deal with their spouse anymore because they're so sick. I'm telling you, women that basically have absconded from their husband because they're so sick and they don't want to deal with them anymore. You haven't seen sickness? I've seen sickness. I've seen too many sick people that people have given up on them. Oh, you might say, oh, no, no, that would not happen. God will not let that happen to us. Maybe you're more spiritual than me. Maybe you are. You're more spiritual than other people who are sick. But the fact is this, marriage is for sickness and in health. People get sick. I am so sick, it's not even funny. But you know what? I got somebody, the most beautiful woman on the face of this earth. The most beautiful woman on the face of this earth. That if it weren't for my wife, I wouldn't be here today. She keeps me alive. She gives me reason to live. Honey, I love you so much. I love you more than life itself. I know that if you want to, you'd rather take my disease than me being sick. I know I cry every day. And you're like, honey, I love you. I know you do. I love you too, honey. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And I cannot be who I am today without you. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm fighting. And when I don't want to fight anymore, I know you're going to fight for me. Because it's in sickness and in health. Too late now for you to change your mind. But brothers and sisters, thank you so much. We're going to have a new leadership coming this week. Let's put our hands out, welcome them, embrace them, and make them feel like we want them desperately, because we do want them desperately. At this time, I'm going to hand over to one of our elders, Mr. Kevin Finity. Thank you very much, and God bless you.